This is Let's Keep It Real with Sandy Joy Weston, your weekly dose of positivity with awesome stories and guests from all over the world. It's an opportunity to learn some great new things and expand your mind. We'll tackle topics from all areas of life, and as always with Sandy, the sky's the limit.
Hello, hello, my Let's Keep It Real people. I'm so excited you're here. Thank you for all your support with my TEDx. I really appreciate it. You people are the bomb. I listen to what you want. And what did you tell me you wanted? You wanted to be able to sell better. Don't we all, and be authentic. So I have the perfect person for you. Welcome, Lynn is in the house. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here, Sandy. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm really excited because we've had so much fun just talking together. And now we get to talk with your audience.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure I have it right. Is it Lynn Whitbeck?
Yep, that's it.
You never know. I mean, so I just got to make sure. So before we get into everything, because I know you just got back from doing your new keynote and you won. I can't wait to hear all about it. I'm going to tell them a little bit about you. And I really, it's been driving me crazy trying to figure out how you picked your name, but I'm sure you'll tell me. So here we go with Lynn. Lynn is the queen of sales. Love that. Business owners and entrepreneurs hire Lynn to ignite winning sales because most fail to connect, capture, and close their ideal clients. Amen, sister. Lynn is the founder and CEO of Petite Two Queen. I need to know more. And the host of, which I've been watching, Claim Your Career Crown and the Get More Clients show. It says what it is. And that's awesome, too. Streaming on Amazon Fire, Roku, Apple TV. She loves visiting national parks, cooking, and playing Pokemon Go. Now, what she doesn't know is my son almost wanted to divorce me because there I was, an adult playing Pokemon Go outside. I love it. You still play?
Oh yeah, yeah. I actually could. I could have leveled up to level 50. I don't know, months and months ago. But there's, anyway, anybody who plays, you knows that they have to have these four extra tasks, and there's one I haven't done, which is to do the battle league, enough battles till I get to a level 10. But I get so competitive doing them, and I stress myself out. I have never been able to get to that level 10 within the timeline before they reset it because I've got to take a break. Oh my God. That's so silly.
I was getting to the point a few years ago that I was running over 8-year-olds on my bike. And I'm like, this is not good to get to the
the Pokestop. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. The Pokestop. Okay. We can't do that. All right. You get to pick one word that best describes your past 30 days and then tell us why you picked that word, whatever pops in your head.
Joyful.
Oh, okay. Joyful. Why joyful?
Oh, it's just, I love sales, and sales is joyful for me. It's a gift. It's how I am able to help and serve others. And when I'm able to share that, yes, and have other people see that side and then incorporate it into who they are, it lets them step into their own power, be more authentic, and to be able to help more people and create more impact in the world. And so joyful. Everyone needs more joy in their life. And it's something we can consciously choose. And I do every day.
And I did not tell her to say that. I did not tell her to say that. You know, I didn't. All right. So before we get into any of the questions, because I got so many questions from my listeners, I need to know about this conference and what you spoke on. And you said you want. We started getting into it right before the show. I'm like, no. Let's tell everyone. So tell me every detail.
Well, it was a really great experience. And unfortunately, I got sick. Like halfway through, I actually had to do my talk when I was not feeling well. And my talk is on intentional selling, revealing the secrets behind joyful sales. And so I was totally blown away at the end of the conference and people select their best speaker and I won.
And you're like, I wasn't even on my A game.
I was really surprised. And it was, but I think it's when you speak from your heart and you're standing in your own power and you bring that authenticity. And I have very good advice and tips and insights on how you can grow your business through your sales. That it just all came together.
I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for them. What conference were you at?
It was a leading edge, you know, for entrepreneurs.
Why wasn't I there? Where? What city were you in?
I was in Tampa and Florida. So it was like, that was the first thing. It was like, I have to travel in July to Tampa. I don't know about this.
Maybe that was,
but that could have been part of it. You know, you're cold. It's sort of like the Las Vegas croup, you know, you go from cold to hot, to cold to hot, you know? So who knows?
I'm so happy for you. I'm not happy you got a cold, but you still nailed it. So that's great. All right. So here's the deal. We have so many questions for you because I haven't had anyone on with this specific topic in years. And it's a big topic. Now, I hope you don't mind, but most of the people that wrote in with the questions, a lot of them have small businesses,
right,
or are solopreneurs and or speakers. And it's all about they do feel like they're selling themselves. You know, like, you know how you're not supposed to take it personal. And a lot of them say, you know, when they were in big corporations and selling, not that it wasn't difficult, but it was a damn lot easier than when they're selling themselves their small business. So if you don't mind for today's show, do you mind if we focus in on that group?
Absolutely. Perfect.
Because
that's who I speak to. Absolutely.
Well, then we're in the right pew and the right park. All right. So I'm going to get down to the biggest one I got over and over again. This young man, he is 38 years old. We'll call him Billy Bob. We always give him fake names. Billy Bob says, "Dear Lynn, I finally made the move. I opened my small company with 5 people. It's been a dream come true. But if one more person says, 'Billy, stop selling me,' I'm going to scream. I swear, I love what I sell. I love what I do. I'm in the IT area, and I really believe I can save people time and money. How can I change this? I don't know what to do."
Well, Billy, congratulations. And I'm sure you can save people time, money, and resources. So it sounds like your cadence is a little off, or just the way that you're having a dialogue. So the first thing you have to remember in sales is it's not about you. It's about your client. Your client's perception equals truth. So if you're hearing this, then that's their perception. That's truth. And you need to lean into that. The second thing in sales is, remember, you need to listen 80% of the time, and people will tell you everything they need to know. So stop talking, you know, listen. Ask questions that elicit the type of response that you need to know. Are they going to be how that you're going to be able to help them, that they have a problem that you can solve, that they're going to be a good fit? So what are those discovery questions that you need answered? And if they answer you first and you sort of, you're going like, you know, that doesn't sound like a very deep response, then use the powerful pause. You either just look at them and go, it will prompt them to add more. And that second response is going to fill it in. The other thing you can do is with a response and you're going like, I need to know more. Just ask them, "I need to know more. Tell me more." And they will. You can also say, "That's interesting. I'm curious. Can we go into more detail? What does this mean?" And they're going to provide you all the information that you need. And as you, it's like peeling back an onion to get to that heart. And they're going to keep giving you information about what's really going on in their business. and why they need your product or service. And the other thing that you could be doing is that when you ask for a sale, you can be closing in a number of different ways. I prefer what I call soft closes, or the industry calls soft closes. I would call them power closes. It's not hard selling. It's an either or question. It's an assumptive close. There's a number of ways you can go about that. But in essence, you're guiding someone to a decision that you have to remember. It's the client that makes the decision, not you. But you're giving them that choice, an either or choice. And when they make that choice, they've said yes. You know, would you like to do our kickoff meeting next Monday at 4 p.m. or would Tuesday at 9 a.m. be better? That's an assumptive either or close. So you're assuming that they're going to say yes, and you should always assume they're going to say yes, but you're giving them the choice. And then they'll say, well, you know, I'm not quite ready yet. I have some more questions. Then you want to find out what those are. Or, you know, I'd really like to start next month. Well, they just said yes. Now it's getting all that set up, right? And another way that you can also help them close the sale is after they've told you about, you know, what's going on in their business, what's working, you know, always what's working. Ask them what's working. You know, well, what's not working? And what would they love to have working? And then as they're telling you this, you can then say, okay, well, there's some people, when they're at where you're at, this is what they do. And this is how they work with us. Other people work with us in this way. And then there are some who work with us in this way. So you're giving them a good, better, best scenario: low cost, medium cost, high cost. Most people do the one in the middle. And you can even say, most people work with us in this way. Which one are you? Now, when you do that, you're letting them self-determine who they are, which of those three slots do they fit into. And another thing about closing, never, ever, ever give them more than three choices, ever. Okay. You just can't handle it.
I can't.
So good, better, best. Most people will pick the middle, and that's totally great.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But you give them good, better, best. And then they let them self-determine which of those pieces do they fall into.
Lynn, when I was first starting out in my health club business, where were you? No, I learned a lot of stuff, but it was hard knocks, you know? It was just like, mayday, mayday, mayday. So let's stay on this area of, it's not about you, it's about the client. And I've watched a bunch of your podcasts, which everyone's got to tune into them. I mean, I was like addicted before I came on. I was like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, get more client show. I got to keep watching because I want that topic. I want that topic. And I want that topic. But I think it does get way more difficult. You know, like Billy Bob right now, okay, he has a company, he has five people. I think he's going to have seven people soon. But it does get way more difficult when people are selling themselves. You know, you're like you're selling yourself as a speaker, you're selling yourself for a workshop. I hear people over and over. I got so many people saying, I know I am worthy, but somewhere there's a disconnect that I feel like, how can I charge the amount of money? And I keep questioning myself. It was so much different when I worked for other people.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, you know, you were still selling yourself when you work for other people. People buy from you. They're not buying from the organization, right? You're the representative of the organization. So the first thing I'm going to say is that you've got to get out of your own way, get out of your own head. This is not about you. It is about your clients. And this is a mindset piece. The first thing you need to step out and say is like, really get into, how do you help and serve others? What is the transformation you create? What's life before working with you? What are people saying to them, their friends, their peers, their business partners, their kids? What happens through that transformation, and what happens afterwards? You know, where are they at? What does life look like? What is the big dream, the goal, the aspiration that they're able to achieve? Why, why has does that matter to them so much? What's in it for them that they've been able to really get into? And what are their friends and their family and their peers and their kids saying to them now? And when you dive into that and get out of your own way, now it's like, this is what I do. And this is so big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now you've reframed that dialogue in your own head, because it's about the gift that you're giving to this client and the transformation. And so another way to really look at this is when you think about your clients, go through this scenario. What do they want, need, or lack? Why does it matter to them? You know, what's in it for them? So they can solve a problem, so they can eliminate a pain, so they can get a solution, so they can what? Dot, dot, dot. Nobody buys an iPhone to make a phone call. So they can what? You know, what is that goal? What's that dream? What's the aspiration? What's the initiative that they are trying to accomplish? That's what people buy. And they buy on the emotions that are associated with that. And you find out those emotions and motivations through understanding the transformational journey that they're on, where they are and where what those feelings are and what they desire. And now you're able to put that together, and you've completely taken yourself out of the equation in many ways. You're creating the opportunity for them to experience this transformation, right? But it's all about them. And when you switch that mindset around, then it helps you stop focusing on me, 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 and instead on them, them, them. Because I would say to each and every one of you, you truly do have a gift that you are delivering to your clients when they work with you. And yes, there's an exchange of money for that. Yeah, absolutely. But it is money well spent that they would spend over and over again because of what they're able to do on the other side of the transformation, the experience.
Okay, well, a few things. One, I'm totally revamping my intake for my keynote speeches, my workshops, and especially my coaching clients. I mean, I love what is life before you. I love that. It was like, look like after you. That's the best. All right, but let's put that over here for a while. They don't buy an iPhone to make a phone call. I'm listening. Why do they buy it?
Well, some people buy it because they want all the extra data storage, right? They want to keep a lot of movies on their phone. Some people buy it because they want the updated operating system to run certain apps. Some people buy it because they want to shoot better videos on their phone or take better photographs. You know, think about all the different reasons people are motivated to buy that new iPhone, because they keep buying new ones.
Yeah.
You know, like I need more storage on my phone. I need a better video camera. Nobody's buying it because they're going to make phone calls. They can do that. And no matter one on an old fashioned flip phone, for gosh sakes. Different reasons.
You're right.
So that is a really important. There could be security features that they've updated, you know, like the whole face recognition, you know, all kinds of different
things. I got it.
So your ideal clients, you know, you're going to lean into what are some of the key features that they're purchasing from you. And I think with an iPhone, it's definitely video, photos, the storage, you know, how much more you can do with it. It's that, you know, one thing to do all this stuff.
Lynn. You're awesome. You know that. You break things down. It's just like, that's easy. All right, we got this. Do you know what I mean? We can do this. We can make it joyful and have fun. But I do think it probably takes first a lot of self-discovery, like you said, on your part, on your mindset, that you really have to. The biggest key I'm hearing, but the number one key I'm hearing from you is you have to really believe you have a gift, that you are worthy, that your client is going to be better afterwards, and that hiring you is going to save them a lot of time and money, and life is going to look a lot better depending on what the service is, way more after you.
Yeah.
That is, you have to believe that. And I think a lot of people maybe doubt that they're worth X amount of dollars or what their gifts are, or they're truly valuable.
I'd say in any kind of sales, to be lean into sales with worthy intent, where you genuinely desire to help and serve others, you must believe in your product or service and your organization and the benefits that you provide. And that's absolutely critical. When I was a Girl Scout, as a young girl, I believed in that, or I loved being a Girl Scout. I believed in the organization. I loved those cookies. I believed in those cookies and that product and the service of how I sold cookies. Right.
Yeah.
And that was when I was, you know, whatever, 12 years old. So
yeah.
It all the way through, if you're not selling something that you're passionate about, then you're starting to go into that sleazy, slimy sales category.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then you've got to find a new product or service. But if you don't believe in yourself, then absolutely you need to do that deep work and really understand and accept, acknowledge, and embrace what you are bringing to the table, that unique you, and how you are serving others.
I love that you were like saying that you have to really, let's stay with the product, because when I was in corporate sales for health clubs before I had my own, people would say, oh, you know, you can sell ice to Eskimos. And I'd say, no, I can't. I'm so passionate, because I truly believe everybody should move. You know what I mean? Everybody should work out. You know, I cannot imagine you not doing in this, you know, in the middle of your workday, for example, or after work or before work. So I didn't understand that statement, because I wouldn't be able to sell something I wasn't passionate about. Maybe some people could, but I can't, you know?
Yeah. Well, no, that distinguishes those individuals who have worthy intent and are truly there to serve their clients. And those that are, I mean, and people have a very high BS meter and they may not figure it out initially, but they figure it out. And that's why those salespeople constantly have churn. They don't have raving fans, except for other sleazy, slimy manipulators, you know?
Yeah.
When you step into that, your own power of the worthy intent of genuinely desiring to help and serve, then in that way, now you're building a relationship with that client that becomes a lifelong relationship. They become your raving fans. They do repeat business with you. They provide you with referrals and introductions, because that's the way you showed up for them, and they show up for you in the same way.
Yeah. So I want to home in again, because I did get a lot of questions, and you did touch on it, that when the product is you, and I feel as if a lot of people have a little bit more, like you said, you're still selling you, but it's a little more difficult. Like, I want to get this coaching client. I want to get this workshop. I want to get this speaking gig. What can they do to work on saying the amount of money they want to charge without going, I've heard somebody say the other day, I know it might be a little high, but I'm worth it. And you're like, huh? Or I know it's expensive and it didn't come with confidence. How do they get over that?
Well, the first thing is, don't use any of those phrases. Okay.
Exactly.
The price just is what it is. So the price is what it is. And the second thing is, I want to remind you, you're not selling yourself. You're selling the transformation that you provide, you know? So if you're a coach, you know, or a motivational speaker, you're providing the transformational experience that you're going to move them from one side of a cliff to be safe on the other side. Okay. You're going to bridge the gap. So what you're selling is that the bridge to get them safely to the other side. And quickly to the other side. So I want you to start rethinking that about what it is you're actually selling, because you have a system, you have a method. I mean, mine is called the Crown Methodology for sales.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, it's very specific on how I move people from one side of the bridge to the other and how quickly they can run, you know, and then they can really power through. And then when they get to the next bridge, I'm there to get them over that next bridge, right? So that is really important to really, once again, you have to reframe how you're thinking about it.
Yeah, I
and
love you that.
Reframe how you're presenting the price. And once again, if you, I would create three different pricing options so that people can self-direct, and so that, that you have the good, better, best. And for this investment, also it's an investment. They're investing in themselves. They're investing in their business. You have to reframe, you know, that they do this and then they do this and then they do this. Which one are you?
Mm-hmm.
And let them self-direct. So I talk about this a lot. There's several episodes that I go over these techniques.
You do. Yeah.
But this is all part of closing. And so what I want you to think about the language you use around it as well. All the language that you had used was literally setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
And so you have to get confident in your own mindset about that. And people, you will have an objection. Well, that's too much. I wasn't planning to spend that much. There's a whole way to answer objections. And I talk about that as well. What are the objections that you can anticipate? And there are people that will not be able to afford it. Mm. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, if you have the three options, they can go into a group program at a lower investment, right? Versus a private client who's going to pay a lot more money to be working with you. And then there's something in between where they're in a group, but they get some one-on-one, whatever that happens to look like for you, you can configure that.
You know, Lynn, the way you said it, because I was thinking, because I was on this like mastermind group when I heard these people say that, and I was like, ooh, it makes me even feel comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
But the way you put it, you're actually, there's distance between you and the outcome. Like it's not you, it's the product. The system.
It's the experience.
Yeah.
It's the transformation directly, they're going to receive.
Yeah. It's not directly a hit on you, you know, which makes it a lot easier. But just like when you're selling a product, you really got to believe in your system and what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, otherwise you shouldn't be selling it. All right. If you don't, because then how do you sleep at night?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so you're selling something that you truly believe in, that you know is going to make a difference. It's going to create an impact, a massive impact for them. And so when you have that, you know that, I mean, and then you do that for people.
Mm.
I mean, that's what this is all about. And, you know, that's where the pricing is really secondary. It's the value that people are going to receive from you and that transformation that they want to receive. And there's a number of ways that you can, you know, provide information early on to address that objective.
Yeah.
So there's things that you can do even when people book a Calendly appointment with you, you know, to schedule a time to talk. There's things that you can do in your landing page, you know, this is not for you if. So for me, a thing, this is, don't work with me if you're a one call closer. If you expect to sell people the very first time you talk to them, I'm not your gal. I believe in relationships and building relationships. And most people are not ready to purchase the first time they talk with you. Very few people are ready to do that. And you need instead to have a plan and a follow-up strategy, because most people will need to talk to you several times because they need to feel that you're credible. They need to feel the trust. They need to make that that change in their mind to make the investment. And those are the people you want. They become your, they become loyal fans.
They do. And they refer a lot. They used to call me, I don't know if they still do it. I used to be called the B-back chick, meaning I wasn't a closer in corporate sales, but I had so many great clients and so many referrals because, and my boss used to get mad at me. If I go, why are you getting mad at me? They always come back. They used to call me the B-back chick, but because I want to build up rapport. I wanted them to feel really good about their decision.
Yeah.
So we got to go. And I know we could talk forever. We're not going to get all your questions and people, but you definitely can reach out to Lynn and you can watch. She has two different podcasts that you will love. There's so much she has to offer and we'll get that at the end. But one more thing. And I was watching this on one of your podcasts, which is the referral process. And I know it's huge, but you said something about it has to be at the right time. So how do you know when it's the right time to ask for referrals?
So I call that you have to have earned the right.
Earned the right.
So in most cases, that means after you, they've said yes and you've started working with them and they've experienced the first stages of the transformation.
Okay.
Because they've now paid you money and they've started to experience the transformation. You've earned the right to ask for a referral. So many people will ask for referrals too early. And the second thing that they do is they don't seed the idea. I mean, you just did that in your conversation. You know, I would get so many referrals. So a great way is, oh, Sandy, it's so great meeting you. We've hit it off so well, this great rapport. And, you know, it's unusual because so many of the people that I meet first time, they've been referred to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really loving how we're connecting here today. And I'm just sort of obviously spitballing off the top of my cold infused head. But the point is, I just seeded the idea that most of my business comes from referrals.
Yeah.
So you do that at each stage of the sales process. So by the time you've earned the right, they're expecting you to ask them for a referral. And just because they say no, they don't know of anybody right that moment, doesn't mean they won't know somebody an hour after you hang up the call.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks later.
Yeah. By the way, you can drink some water. Have some water. Take your time. Lynn was really, really sweet. She was like, I'm struggling with the cold. I said, don't worry about it. Yeah, you mute yourself. I'm going to talk for a little bit. You come back when you're done muting. She just got back from a big conference and she got a cold there. She's probably got all this medicine in her right now, but her information is so valuable. And I don't know if you can tell, but me sitting here with Lynn, doesn't it make sales seem joyous? Aren't you having fun selling? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you're making it fun, Lynn.
Yeah. Well, joy, sales is, it's how you help them serve people. That's a core value of mine. That's why I love sales, because I get to help people. I get to solve their problems. I get to create impact for them, the personally, their business, their team, their clients.
Yeah.
It's a
who wouldn't want to work with you? Who wouldn't want to work with you? All right, Lynn, I'm going to
call closers.
Well, you know, we say referrals. I used to always say my business. How'd you get the business? Keep people keep saying, I go, I don't know, word of mouth. But it's the same thing. Same thing.
Word of mouth are referrals. Yes.
Yeah. So thank you so much for being on the show. We have to get together soon. I wish I lived close to you because we would hang out for sure. Your information is so valuable. I mean, even in this short episode, I know everyone is coming away thinking, okay, I got this. I mean, even just starting out, it's not just, you got to constantly, because I get it. It's tough, but it's not about you. It really isn't. And when you get to that point and just thinking I'm here to serve the client, it makes it a lot easier and a lot more fun. So before we go though, even though we'll put it in the show notes, how should they find you? How should they reach out to you? What's the best way?
Yeah. So you can go to our website, petite and the digit 2. queen.com, petitequeen.com. We have a ton of resources. I'd recommend you download our Get More Clients checklist. That's going to let you see if you're missing a step in your sales process. That's very common. You can watch the TV show right there. It's in the menu. And anything you want to know about sales, use the search bar and just type it in. Like, I want to know more about follow-up. Every resource we have, the episodes I've done on it, articles, they'll all pop up so that you can do that. And I invite you to start that journey because, you know, bottom line, sales, love it or hate it, you won't survive without it.
Woohoo! I like that. All right. But wait a minute. I know we should close with that, but I need to know the name. I need to know why you have that name.
So Petite Queen, when we were deciding the business name and I was working with my team and we're going over that, you know, I don't care if you have purple hair and tats, it's about who you are as a person. And so I was trying to incorporate this concept of diversity, a thought of diversity of, you know, purple hair and tats, whatever it happens to be. And I looked across the table and my team members are like a size 2 to a size 6. I'm queen sized. And I went petite to queen. And so it was that simple. I looked at right then to see if it was for sale. It was, I bought it. And so that was how, and it's also think about your sales. You're going from a petite business or just starting out as a single solopreneur to a queen sized business of, you know, creating your own royal vault and treasure of success.
I got the second part. I never would have gotten the first part. So thank you for explaining. All right, my Let's Keep It Real people. Come on. Everybody needs to see and or hear this episode. Lynn and I would really appreciate you sharing, liking it, and rating it. It would mean so much, but they're going to thank you. Who doesn't need us? Everyone needs it. And until next time, you know I'm going to say, thanks, Lynn, and toodles.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to share and subscribe if you enjoyed the show. And remember, keep spreading the positive.